It is a day when we celebrate the birthday of our blessed mother. As I get older and read this genealogy in the liturgy, I begin to appreciate more and more the fidelity of God's promises and the sheer might of God's promises, his power in order to bring about what he promises the origin of the human race, and that is the fulfillment that one day a Savior will be born. If you look at the line, in this case, you could start with Abraham, Luke's genealogy, actually go back all the way to Adam, the father of the human race. But for Matthew, who's writing primarily to the Jewish audience, Abraham really is a key figure. And you look at the list, it really requires us to have some, we have to dabble in the Old Testament, we have to, and we should as Catholics, you know, we should be somewhat familiar, at least a little bit, with the Old Testament, because the Old, as our Lord made clear to the disciples on the way to Emmaus, what he referred to, but didn't use the name Old Testament, points to him. Everything about the prophets, the Psalms, it all points to Jesus. Everything, all history leads to Christ. All of it is directional, it is in his direction. It's leading up to him. So when we read this list of names, they come alive if we know something about their history. What, in some cases, it's very little. In other cases, a bit more. Even the fact that there are women in the genealogy. This did not happen in genealogy. Women weren't included. It was the line of men. Now, obviously, women are quite important, but it just didn't occur on a regular basis. It didn't occur. So this is unusual. And this is what Christ does. He came to restore the dignity of people, because men need it too, and women. So you have women included here, and even the fact that there are very good people, and there are some real rascals in this genealogy, some people who are double crooks, and some people who are just dumb. And I mean that in the sense of Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, he was very unwise. He's the one who brought about the splitting of the kingdom, because he was basically what I would call a spoiled brat who listened to his friend rather than the old wise counselors, and he refused to let the taxation of the Roman kingdom, which eventually led them to revolt. It's the case of the first tax revolt in biblical history. When you crush people too much with taxes, eventually they will revolt. So as a result of that, the kingdom was split. And we can go over this over and over and over again, how all the human decisions, some virtuous, some sinful, God is still able to work the promise he made. That back with our first parents, Adam and Eve, he promised that one day a Savior would be born. And sure enough, a Savior has been born. And the key figure in terms of human persons in this plan that God has, continues to have for the salvation of the human race, which means you and me, to save us, bring us to heaven, his mother, his Mary. And God so ordained it. This is the way God wanted to do it. And he could have done it another way, but he didn't. He chose this way, so it's obviously the best way. God is quite capable of doing all sorts of things, but when he chooses a way, it is the best way. So Mary is the best way. And of course, we celebrate the Immaculate Conception several months from now. And there we focus on the fact that she is full of grace. That God had the ability to free Mary from the guilt of original sin. And he did this in order to prepare a worthy place for his own son to be born into the world. There's many applications you can draw from this. One of many, just one of many, aside from the fidelity of God's promises, which we should strengthen our faith, and just the sheer joy that we should have of thanking God for bringing about the birth of the Blessed Mother and asking her to always watch over us, is the fact that all of this, for the most part, passes unnoticed in the eyes of human beings. And most of the important things, the truly critical, foundational things, but they weren't really exposed. But even when the master showed them all the signs of healing and fulfillment, they were closed off because he didn't fit into their categories. He didn't, didn't curry their favor. So they rejected them. So most of the stuff is the way that it is with our life. Our life, 99% of it, perhaps even 100%, for the most part, passes unnoticed by the world. But it is, for that reason, unimportant. Now, what we do is important. And we should remember that God is working, as he worked his purpose in bringing you on Mother Mary, he has a specific purpose in mind for you and me. And we should strive every day asking our Lord and our Lady and St. Joseph and our brothers and sisters in heaven and saints to help us really fulfill God's plan in our life. Because it's not unimportant. Even though you and I may think, now what am I to the world? People will forget me just like that when I'm dead. It doesn't mean I'm not important. Same thing with you. And all of what we do in life has a place and it's important to God. God doesn't make mistakes, and nothing is unimportant to him. So, as we reflect upon her and hopefully with joy, thanking God for bringing you out of her birth, and thanking her for being so disposed to God's will, and being such a wonderful example for us, and being there always to watch over us and protect us, let us also ask the Lord to help us understand how important it is to fulfill our daily duties, and the tasks that make up our life, our duties to stay, and how they contribute when we unite.